Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts. And our good buddy, the King, he likes to say that winning teams find ways to win, and losing teams find ways to lose. That was the case on Monday night between the Bengals and the Steelers. A Bengals team that, let's be quite honest, I mean, they, in that first half, they were dominant. 17-0 they were up. 17-3 at the half. And it was just, Steelers can do anything. And they weren't giving the ball to Le'Veon Bell enough. The Bengals were stifling them every which way. A.J. Green and Andy Dalton were having their way with this battered Steelers defense. And then all of a sudden, the Bengals became the Bengals. You know?
Yep, like they always do.
The Bungles.
The Bengals started bangling.
Exactly. Like they always do. They lose this game 23-20, and yet that's not even the story. We're going to get into that in a moment. But you had the very scary play with Ryan Shazier. I don't want to say hit because it wasn't a hit. You know, he made a tackle. He dropped, and you could see him clenching his fist, trying to move his arms. Immediately goes for it, holds his back. So he's like, all right, at least he can move his arms. So that's good. And then motionless, you know, his hands were moving, yeah, but motionless on the bottom half. That was very, very scary. That was in the first half. And the second half, Juju Smith had an opportunity to light up Vontaze Burfict, and he did. And I was watching the game with Judy, and I'm just like, I don't feel bad for this dude because he has torn people's legs off before. He has gone after knees before. He's been very, very violent, so I don't feel bad for him.
The Pittsburgh Steelers have let it be known they've had it out for him for years.
Absolutely. They want it, and that's why Juju Smith-Schuster immediately following the hit, I mean, he stood right over him, right? Yeah. Like, this isn't one of those where you hurt somebody immediately call for the trainers to come out. He stood over him talking crap.
Yeah.
And by this perfect move.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately, you know, Juju got the penalty, which is fine, which he would deserve.
They'll eat that.
And, you know, what was crazy about that was when he had to be carted off, he saw Juju. He didn't want it to go that far. He wanted to light him up, you know, start selling that something. He did not expect him to get taken out of a cart.
Oh, I see this.
Well, it's also, but he also had to understand, Juju also understands that it's going to be another game next year. And he's going to be a target now.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you could see the emotion. I mean, he's a 20-year-old kid.
Yeah.
You could see the emotions going through his head, like, what did I just do? And you don't mess with it. It's perfect.
No.
Unless you're prepared for the consequences. And ultimately, from what I understand, he went back to the locker room. He basically jumped off the car and said, listen, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, concussed. Yes, it's bad,
wow,
obviously.
Man.
But
Get off me, I'm good.
That's what he said.
Get me back in the game.
No,
I don't know if he said all of that. But
well, he said, get off me, I'm good, for sure. You heard that last night. So he's walking around. Ultimately, he's going to be okay. This rivalry continues to just be intense.
Well, the thing with Vontaze Burfict, you want to live by the sword, you die by the sword.
You're right.
You want to go after
people,
like you said. You want to, you know, he is known. He's repeatedly done that. I mean, Le'Veon Bell has been the spokesman of trying to get this guy out of the league for what he's done to him. And it's not just Bell that he's done it to. I mean, he's a very good player, but he plays, you know, he plays on that line, and he crosses it time and time again.
A lot. He crosses.
So you know what? What goes around comes around.
He's a habitual line stepper. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Listen, there's no question about it. So that's why it's hard to feel bad when that kind of thing happens.
But I've watched this play on loop this morning.
But you know what? I don't want to see anybody carted.
I don't want anybody carted off
significantly injured. Like,
but,
that.
Like, know,
listen, did he deserve to get, you know, his lights out a little bit? Yes. I'm not saying that he didn't. You know, I don't want to see anybody significantly.
But he put himself in that position that players are targeting him now for what he has done throughout his career time and time again.
Absolutely. I'm not disagreeing with that. But that, he gave some quote. It was Sean McDonough. And John Gruden gave some quote when John Gruden wasn't messing up wide receivers' names. And he said that Steelers players believe that their rivalry with the Ravens is hard-nosed and respectful. They expect each side, which is hilarious because many years ago that was not remotely the case. It was Ray Lewis and whatnot.
They went at it, too.
They went at it violently. Hines Ward was killing Ravens.
Ed Reed.
There you go, Ed Reed, absolutely. And that was Terrell Suggs' glory days, and as you said, Ed Reed and Elvis Dumervil.
Remember the Willis McGahee hit? Who hit Willis McGahee? Willis McGahee, they almost killed Willis McGahee.
So, I don't want to have a revisionist history when it comes to the Steelers-Ravens, but they said the Steelers-Ravens is hard-fought, it's hard-nosed, and it's respectful. On the Bengals-Steelers rivalry, it is not any of those
No,
things.
That's jail. That's jail ball right
it's,
there.
It, but yeah, that's basically exactly what it was, right? It was savage. It's street ball. There are no rules, and one team always wins.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Andy Dalton is now 3-11 in his career against Pittsburgh Steelers.
What was crazy? What was crazy last night? Me and Chris Vaccaro were fighting for second place in that primetime, and we went full Bengals last night. And you never go full Bengals, but we did. We went Dalton, Green, and the Bengals defense, and we pulled it out by like just over 2 points. It was pretty crazy. I can't believe we had to sweat it in that second half after how great that first half was. But, you know, that's the Bengals. I mean, how they can lose that game is mind-boggling.
Yeah, you know, it's mind-boggling, but it's not.
It's an indictment on the coach, too.
Of course it is. You're up 17-3 at home.
I don't care. He got them in the playoffs. You want to look at, he's never gotten past that first round anyway. I know he's cheap. He works, you know. He works on a, you know, they're on a budget, that team. I'm being kind by using that word.
I think he's on a Obamacare, to be honest with you, Marvin Lewis.
So, I mean, something's got to give here.
You know, it was 20-10 entering that fourth quarter, and, you know, you watched the fourth quarter, and it was just like, you knew the Steelers were going to win. You knew the Steelers were going to win. At no point did I feel like the Bengals had any shot. And as much as you want to kill Andy Dalton, like, he made the throws. Dropped by A.J. Green. Dropped by Brandon LaFell. Dropped by A.J. Green. Over and over and over. The throws were there.
Yeah, he had
his wide receivers had no help.
He had 64 yards or something like that in the second half. And, I mean, it was just, I was sitting there sweating this thing out when I thought I had it in the bag. They took back the A.J. Green touchdown. And I was like half asleep. And I heard the Antonio Brown touchdown. That woke me right up.
Sure.
I was like, okay.
And he got lit up in the end zone also.
No, he did.
You know, and Antonio Brown got absolutely lit up.
I mean, you just can't say enough about AB and the player that he is.
Yeah.
The guy in warm-ups, the toe going gingerly and stuff. And look.
The lights come on.
Thank God he dropped that touchdown pass. At least for me, I needed him to do that earlier on. But hell of a play. I mean, one of the best football players we've been able to watch.
Our generation's Jerry Rice.
And it's year after year with Antonio Brown, who now on the year. I mean, this is absurd. Like, we went over some of the numbers yesterday, like Mike Evans, right? Of some of the guys, they're having nice seasons. Like, they're on, like, even Keenan Allen and Larry Fitzgerald, we went over them yesterday. Oh, yeah, it's nice. He's 80 receptions, 800 yards, a bunch of touchdowns. Let me read you Antonio Brown's numbers.
I would love to go back. That final live draft weekend, because you had the Thursday night first, and you're allowed to, you know, you could draft, you know, Kareem Hunt. People were taking Kareem Hunt number one.
Sure.
Pass it on AB and Le'Veon Bell. I think those people would love to go back now, and, you know,
Antonio,
that's why you can't do it.
Antonio Brown, 88 receptions on the year, 1,300 yards, 1,296, and 9.
I mean, he's uncoverable. He really is.
He will be 30 next July, and he should be the number one overall.
And he should be 1-1 again. You know, 1-1, him, Le'Veon Bell, yeah, David Johnson.
That's it.
They're all in
Todd
that
Gurley.
Not 1-1. Mm-hmm. He's a top five pick, but he's not on the AB level is David Johnson, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell.
I mean, and I'm also going to put Ezekiel Elliott in top five.
Yeah, that's true.
Todd Gurley rounds up your top five, is that what we're saying?
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to be, is Kamara right outside there? That's going to be the interesting question. Let's see how he finishes.
You know, Kamara, well, we you have Odell.
We got to see what the situation is next year. Obviously, you know, coaching staffs and stuff like that. But I think
we're big fans of coaching staffs now.
Yeah, we have to look into this.
Do.
You have to look into it in the offseason. You got to keep up with these moves. But do they put two running backs in the first round, Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram? That would be crazy.
I don't think people will go for Ingram in the first round.
Yeah.
He just has that stigma to him, too.
I agree.
But, yeah, no, I mean, Ingram is getting kind of lost here in how good of a season he's had. And last season was an excellent season as well. So I think people will start to see it. But Kamara is the, you know, the shiny new toy. He's been, you know, amazing. So I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But, I mean, people just, Mark Ingram's not sexy.
Yeah, he's not. No. It's not funny, but it's kind of crazy that because of Ryan Shazier's injury last night and Montez Perfect's injury last night, you forget about Joe Mixon. And Joe Mixon left this game, and he was concussed. And that seemed pretty severe in itself. Giovanni Bernard took over, got every other carry last night, finishes with 77 yards rushing, caught two passes for 19 yards. Question will be, Corey, will you be able to start Giovanni Bernard week 14 if Joe Mixon does not play?
If Joe Mixon does not play, I think you have an excellent chance to get Giovanni Bernard out there and get him in some starting lineups next week. I think the matchup will dictate to it. I'm looking for his matchup right now. Excuse me.
The Cincinnati Bengals, I believe, have a good matchup. I think they face the Chicago Bears.
So, on the road or at home?
They face them at home.
Yeah, I like it.
It's going to be, look, if you got to, you got to shoot the options off. I mean, I'd definitely be picking them up.
Got to pick him up. The question will become him or Peyton Barber. You're also going to need to pick up another player, especially if you own Rob Gronkowski. We'll break down the suspension, our thoughts, and how you replace him for the first round of the playoffs live on YouTube when we return. This is the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
The fantasy executive Corey Parson. This is Wall Street Matt Modiga.
Why are they playing that silly music?
I am Greg Sussman here with you on a Tuesday. And gentlemen, Rob Gronkowski's hit.
Yep.
Kind of dirty.
Very dirty.
Very dirty.
It wasn't Vontaze Perfect dirty, but it was something that you do not expect to see a professional athlete do on the football field.
If you haven't seen it, which I'm sure you have, basically, he got interfered with, his pass interference. He didn't take that lightly. TJ White, I believe his name is.
No, Trey White.
Trey White, all right.
Tredoris.
We'll just go with T. White. he goes down, gets tackled out of bounds. Great, fine. Gronk comes in, and it doesn't just fall on him. Basically gives him an elbow to the head.
No, that was vicious. That really was. I love Gronk for all he
Everybody
does.
Everybody loves Gronk.
The character. He snapped. The man snapped on the field, and what he did was one of the most vicious hits I've seen this year. Because this guy was laying there defenseless, and Gronk is, as we all know, a big boy.
Yeah, he's not a little dude.
You know, and somebody made a statement too, which I think was correct. He shouldn't be able to play until White can play. I mean, that's never going to happen.
So I always love that. And it's interesting because you see a lot of these defenseless hits on receivers and whatnot. And yes, they're very violent and they're very rough. But you're going for the ball. You're doing it for a reason. This guy was just laying on the ground.
Yeah.
He wasn't doing anything. And Gronk elbows him in the back of the head. While
he
was laying down.
The Marshawn Lattimore, Mike Evans thing, at least Lattimore was standing up. That still was something that was
right.
That was negative too. But
right.
This one right here, dude was laying down. I'm serious. He could have been charged with assault.
You're not wrong. You're
absolutely
not wrong.
Been charged with assault for that.
I mean, the size and the weight of Gronk going down on this man. I mean, that was really, you want to talk about
that
violence.
That was Bush League, and I've never seen anything like that from Rob. You wouldn't even think Gronk would have that in him.
And so Bill Belichick, after the game, literally told Sean McDermott, when Sean McDermott gave him the update, Belichick was like, listen, that's BS. I'm sorry. You never see Belichick do that. And he was contrite about it. And Rob Gronkowski said the same thing. He's like, oh, you know what? It got the best of me. I'm sorry. Well, you know what? Sometimes sorry is not good enough, because you're Rob Gronkowski. You know, this guy's a backup cornerback, and
you could ruin a man's livelihood.
Isn't
Gronk over there by you, Matt? Should we go? Should he go to the pit of misery?
Yeah, he should go to the pit of misery.
Pit of misery for Rob Gronkowski. There you go. Now for Gronk, he was, as I said, apologetic after the game. He was saying ultimately that I shouldn't have done that. I got the best of me. I was wrong. Blah blah blah. And rightfully, everybody in agreement. The NFL suspended him for one game. This is one of those where it wasn't like, should he or shouldn't he? They did the right thing, and they suspended him one game, which was awesome. Many people, including Jake Seeley, thought it should have been more. What do you think about that, Matt?
I wouldn't have had a problem if it was more. It definitely had to be at least one game. Yeah. And I guess it's more of the union that makes you file the appeal, but I mean, he really shouldn't even be appealing this. It's going
to
stand.
Well, that was the point I was getting to next, Corey, right? Suspended for one game. Everybody universally agrees. Even Gronk and his coach, Bill Belichick, said that it was dirty. And then he appeals it.
Yes, the NFLPA. The NFLPA, they have a job to do in a situation like this.
But like, what? And I've always wondered this. In a situation like that, what is the defense?
The defense is that you're there to represent the player, so you put you put it in. That's a part of your job.
No, I understand that. Mm. But the NFLPA will go to an appeals hearing with like James Thrash or something like that. And what is the argument to change this?
I think it's they don't want to set a precedent where they're not.
Yeah.
If they start not appealing suspensions, then I don't know. That's the only way I can look at it. That's the only answer I can logically give.
It'll be a quick argument.
Yeah.
It'll be a quick argument.
What it was like, oh, he's really sorry. You don't really suspend players for, like, after the play hits. Is that the argument?
Even if that is the argument, the arbitrator will be like, well, that's crazy. And they'd be like, okay, we're going. All right, one game suspension upheld.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really as simple as that, which means.
Or they can say A.J. Green choked somebody up, threw him in the headlock, slammed him down, punched him a couple times. He didn't get no game.
He was ejected from his own game.
That's true, too, but he was never suspended. So, whatever. That would be, I would guess the argument would be something like that. But the NFL's PA job is to at least
fight for their clients.
Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, that Gronk play was one of the most violent plays I can remember. And that, it was just so, the guy was so defenseless. It was so after the play and what he did there. I mean, he really could have injured him beyond compare.
Now, for Gronk and the Patriots, I also want to look at it from this perspective. It's not the worst thing to have a miss a game right now in week 14. You're going to get the number one seed. This is a dude that's always hurt. Give him a nice week off in the middle of the year to relax.
I tell you,
the worst thing.
I tell you the one thing with Gronk being out this week, Danny Amendola needs to be in the lineups. When Gronk does not play.
As I was getting to, what happens now? What changes for the Patriots? Matt.
Danny Amendola. I mean, it's tough to trust this guy. For some reason, he still returned punts with a bad knee.
A bad back, a bad shoulder.
A bad everything for Amendola.
He's like the guy in our operation. Like, there's always something wrong on like every aspect of his body. But he's got to be in your lineup. As long as he's deemed healthy enough to play and he's on that field, he's going to see a significant rise in targets, snaps, and everything for as long as he can go out there and play.
Amendola, as Matt talked him up. It's week 14. Can you put him in your lineup?
Yeah, you can put him in your lineup this week, and I think Amendola will get it done for you also. The thing with Amendola is when they have a full complement of weapons, he's the one that's going to see the least. But whenever somebody is outside of Chris Hogan,
he steps up.
Because him and Hogan play a very similar role.
Right.
Not just because of that.
We thought Amendola would be the guy, you and I.
Yeah.
Over Chris Hogan.
Exactly.
And it didn't happen. Now, Chris Hogan's out, we haven't heard any word that he'd be back this week. So if we assume Chris Hogan is out and Rob Gronkowski's out, to me, the guys that step up, certainly Brandon Cooks will have his monster role. Danny Amendola steps up.
There's so much familiarity with the offense with Tom Brady and Danny Amendola.
The other one name that comes to my mind, someone can step up with the Patriots.
Please don't say Dwayne Allen.
Oh, Jimmy White.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Jimmy White.
I think James White can come out of the shadows again.
He can come out of the shadows. It's just Burkhead's role just seems to be growing.
Yeah.
It seems like Belichick, this is like the prototypical Bill Belichick player.
Sure.
And he just loves this guy. I mean, he's taken over the goal line work. It's all him. So, I mean, if you have Burkhead, you're smiling right now.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. You said a second ago, Corey, please don't say Dwayne Allen because you're not trusting Dwayne Allen.
Dwayne Allen's a zero. He is nothing.
Yeah. I remember the last time when Gronk was out.
On a Thursday Night Football.
And somebody was on Twitter saying, play Dwayne Allen.
That was Mike Clay.
It was Mike Clay, yeah.
That was Mike Clay.
Dwayne Allen, and I was like, unfollow.
And he also got Rob Gronkowski out of his lineup at like 9 o'clock that night.
Yeah, yeah, that happened to me
after the game started.
Yeah, so there
it
you
is
go.
What it is.
So if all Corey and Matt agree, don't go pick up Dwayne Allen. He's not the guy that can help you. But gentlemen, this is the first round of the playoffs. You very well may have Gronk in your lineup. Yep. You very well may now need a tight end that you don't have. I get it. You have Gronk. You should have a backup because he's hurt. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. Let's assume for now that you don't. You need to go pick up a tight end. What direction can we look in?
We got to look at it, and we got to understand that if you're this late in the season, really nothing really on waiver wise. If you still can make a pickup on the wire, guys like the legend of Ricky Seals is going to be one of the first people that come to mind. Eric Ebron, based upon his matchup, could be a guy that fantasy owners can go out there and get. We don't know what the situation is with Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed could be on waiver wire and play this week.
Did not practice yesterday.
What else is new?
So to me, I have a couple of names here. And the first two names that came to my mind are actually players that we brought up before the show, Matt. I go to Cleveland first with David Njoku. I thought Njoku really stepped up with the return of Josh Gordon, and there seems to be a trust factor there with DeShone Kizer.
I picked him up in the leagues I play, you can't make pickups in week 14 and on. So Njoku was a guy I picked up for this sole purpose. The snaps have increased, and he's been praised by the coaching staff for his run blocking. And he looked great Sunday versus the Clippers. He really did. And the other guy, I'm assuming we're going to.
So the other guy is going to be potentially successful because of an injury of his own.
Yep.
And that was the Zach Ertz concussion. I believe this is his second concussion of the year or within a one-year span. And that's Trey Burton. And I remember the last time Zach Ertz missed the game, he hurt his hamstring. They held him out the week before a bye. And the bum I was playing against, who was an Eagles fan, at 12:45 before the game started, picked up Trey Burton. And I was like, good, pick up Trey Burton. And you know what? Trey Burton hurt me that week, and here he is again this weekend in the playoffs. Can you play him?
Yeah, no, I'm taking Trey Burton over Dwayne Allen and names like that, and he's definitely somebody. We saw as soon as Ertz went out, he was throwing to Trey Burton. Trey Burton will have a role if Ertz does not play. If you're a Zach Ertz owner, he's your top priority.
All right, so if you're a Gronk owner, how would you rank these three players? Ricky Seals-Jones, Trey Burton, and David Njoku. You got to play one of them this weekend. So you're doing obviously playing week by week, not for the future. This week?
I honestly haven't looked at the matchups.
So Trey Burton and Philly play the Rams in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Cleveland Browns play the Green Bay Packers. And then you have, who's left?
Packers
Arizona.
Are one of the best teams in the league.
Arizona and Ricky Seals play Tennessee.
You know what? I'm going to go with the raw talent this week. I'm going to roll it on Njoku.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey's right. They have... coming into this week, they didn't let a touchdown to the tight end.
And Cameron Bray gets two. Yeah.
And that was Corey's great call last week. He was a believer in that. So I'm going to go Njoku, Burton, and the legend.
There you go. So despite starting Ricky Seals-Jones the last couple of weeks, the legend, Matt, this week is going with David Njoku, then Trey Burton, then Ricky Seals-Jones, if you need to replace Rob.
I think they're all three nice options at this point in the season. And look, it's week 14. And if you're filling in the tight end, could do much worse.
It's not going to be much out there depending on your league size and what's on the waiver wire. But if you've gotten this far and that waiver wire shrunk up, those are some guys right there, and I agree with that order.
You agree with that order also, yep. Right? There you go. If you have questions about this, give us a call, 844-843-6879. You need to replace Gronk. You need to replace your tight end. We have answers for you. We'll take a break here. One of the names that Corey gave was Eric Ebron. I'll tell you why I don't like that pick. Next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Eight four four eight four three six eight seven nine. The number to join us here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. If you need to replace Gronk, I did have one last question in regards to that. Can you go to Greg Olsen? Olsen was held out last week because they didn't want to play on the turf where they were. He now begins three straight home games here in Carolina. So he said, listen, I want to play on grass. I'll be good to go against Minnesota this week.
I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
I would take those three options we mentioned in the YouTube segment just for the fact that he hasn't finished a game yet. And it's just against the Vikings defense. Look, Olsen, when healthy, sure. He's been a stud tight end for years now. But, you know, injury optimism. I've seen Sammy Watkins with a foot injury. So that scares the hell out of me.
Corey, you mentioned Eric Ebron a moment ago as somebody that you could potentially start if you lost to Rob Gronkowski. And the reason that I wouldn't necessarily go in that direction is because of Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford severely hurt that right hand, bruised, blown up, every deal. It's not broken, but ultimately. I hear you now.
It's a booby trap.
Oh, it's a booby trap.
It's a booby trap. Yeah.
I have to get you.
Yeah, I know. Didn't Matt Stafford break his hand around the same time last year? He had a broken hand for the fantasy playoffs last year.
He did. I believe you're right. It was a broken thumb.
Yeah.
It was a thumb last
hand
year.
Hand injury.
Mm-hmm. And now, I mean, you saw the thing after the game. It was blown up. It was out to here. And it's his throwing hand. And we saw it affected him last year with the thumb. Now, I don't know how he's going to be able to grip the ball. He did not finish the game on Sunday. Jake Rudock did. And now, Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, certainly Eric Ebron affected.
Yeah, the whole Lions offense is going to be affected by this. Obviously, you want to see what happens. Matt Stafford's level of pain tolerance. I don't see a situation where he actually leaves out or exits the game. But I do think... you know, the owners of some of the offensive weapons, they could see a little bit more handoffs, a little bit more short passes, which would help Golden Tate. But the main thing about it is Matthew Stafford is still going to wing it. If he goes out there, they're going to give him a shot. They're going to juice him up with something. He's going to go out there and wing it. What you got to hope is he doesn't hit his hand on a player's helmet and re-injures it or re-aggravates it. What I have a situation where I have a team going into the playoffs where my quarterbacks are Matthew Stafford and Aaron Rodgers. If Matthew Stafford can't play, I'm going to be in trouble because Aaron Rodgers is not playing this week.
No, that's not
but, true. But I did hear Dr. David Chow, heard a clip from him. He said he should be fine. He got stepped on and all that. His hand will blow up for now, but the swelling will go down. He doesn't see any reason why he won't be out there this weekend.
Now, that's great. He'll be out there this weekend. I saw what David Chow said as well, Pro Football Doc, but I am a bit concerned how that gripping.
Why are you switching up docs on us? Listen, we roll with Dr. A.
We remain
loyal to Dr. A, okay?
Dr. A wasn't here yesterday. He was on vacation.
Yeah, Dr. A's on
vacation.
So
I needed to look at a different doctor.
He does moonlight other places, too.
This is true. Dr. A does moonlight other places.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
I just want to make sure we keep our loyalty to Dr. A.
Yes, of course. We're always loyal to Dr. A. You were supposed to fill in for Dr. A this week.
Yes. So, I did.
So you're confident with Matthew Stafford's hand?
I feel good about Matthew Stafford's hand.
All right, there you go. Other injuries.
I read something from Dr. Chow.
You mentioned Corey just a second ago. Aaron Rodgers is your only other quarterback on that team with Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
He's not playing this week. The question becomes if he's going to play in week 15. Because I want to remind you, it's no sure thing. Matt knows this. I am the least optimistic person when it comes to injuries. That's why I hated Andrew Luck for so long. Even though I kind of banked on Greg Olsen a lot, and I banked on Greg Olsen and on Aaron Rodgers in places, I want to not just guarantee that all of a sudden week 15 he comes back, Corey, because it's no lock.
No, it is no lock. Now, listen, we're all making these speculative ads, and I think it's a good thing to do.
Agreed.
Because one of the things that Aaron Rodgers brings you is he can give you a very high upside player going down your stretch. He in those 2 weeks can win you your championship. We know what kind of dynamic talent Aaron Rodgers is. If that team is in the playoff hunt, he's going to put that team on his back and try to get them there. So, smart, speculative pickup on Aaron Rodgers, but let's not start counting our chickens before they hatch.
It's really interesting because
you may have to carry three quarterbacks if you're on Aaron Rodgers' team.
Because when Aaron Rodgers returns, week 15 and 16, have you guys checked out the matchups? Because I looked at them.
I know he's got Carolina.
I looked at him this week, and I was just preparing for the playoffs, you know, kind of getting my head on straight. He plays at Carolina in week 15 on Sunday, comes back the following Saturday at home against Minnesota. And I was like,
yeah, it's Aaron Rodgers. No,
I know it's Aaron Rodgers.
Matchup proof.
I know.
He's matchup proof.
I know.
Are you ever
going to
bench Tom Brady? I mean, Tom Brady?
No.
Tom Brady's the reason why I don't have a 1-4 chance of winning $14,000 in the Super Playoffs. He put up 10 points. I missed it by 5 points. But I would play Brady time and time again every time. You just have to.
I was just saying, this guy's come back from injury. He's been out all season.
Look,
I just wanted to throw it out there.
It's you have him there. I don't see how you can't start him.
844-843-6879. Speaking of other injuries, gentlemen, Alex Collins left this game, or came out of the game, I should say, for the Baltimore Ravens with migraines. And I don't know if that's concussion related. I don't know if that's neurological related. But I can tell you that the migraines kept Sterling Shepard out for 2 weeks. And we weren't sure when he was going to get out of this. We were told, Corey, that it basically felt like Sterling Shepard had been hungover for 2 weeks. We talked about how terrible a feeling that is. Alex Collins has these migraines now. John Harbaugh says, listen, these are serious. We don't mess with the migraine thing. How concerned are you about Alex Collins?
This is obviously, we've already seen what this has been able, what this has done, taking a play of us, of Shepard away for 2 weeks. This is a medical thing. You feel what I'm saying? It's not really so much injury related, but they can go in there, put some ice on it, give the guy a shot, see if he can get to practice by Friday and put him back out there. This is a situation where you have to more or less include medical doctors, neurological being involved with your head. So they take these things very seriously, especially in today's NFL.
I believe from what I heard with the migraines, it depends. Different. You have to take different treatments. Like certain things work, and you got to like just keep trying it out. So it's, you know, Buck Allen, Danny Amendola, if he doesn't play, become options against the Steelers. Look, you hope Alex Collins is fine for this weekend. Yeah. He's having a really nice season. So if you own him, you definitely want him in there. I don't care if it's versus Pittsburgh. You have to play him.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I think so too. I think so too. And you wonder, when it goes to Baltimore, I want to go back to one of your guys, Matt. Danny, you are the Danny Woodhead guy in every which way. Danny Woodhead has not been nearly as effective as I think you believed he would be when he returned from his injury. Why is that?
I mean, I guess maybe he was just out of the offense for all that time. Alex Collins became a real thing. Buck Allen proved his worth. And the one player, I really don't want to advocate for this guy because he'll come back and bite me. But Mike Wallace has 19 targets in the last two games.
Mike Wallace is killing. Wallace kept me out the playoffs this week.
Yeah, I sat him for Austin Eckler. I had him in all week, and last minute I put in Eckler, and I did regret that. But Mike Wallace, if he's going to get these targets, look, it's Joe Flacco, captain checkdown. But Flacco can throw the deep ball.
Sure.
And Mike Wallace is one of the best at running the deep route.
I just would never feel comfortable in my playoffs starting Mike Wallace.
No, you can't. It's hard to. Put it like this. I would rather lose to him than lose because of him in my lineup.
Yeah, I mean, it's all going to depend on your options. But I do think Wallace is definitely someone to consider this week. He's and you know, Goodwin of the 49ers is like another guy like that.
I like Marquise Goodwin better.
I slapped my hand just now because I'm looking at a playoff team of mine, and I'm looking at my matchups, and I got my guy Doug Baldwin. He's going up against the Jackson 5.
He's going up against that's another thing.
I can't wait for that, Matt. Russell Wilson versus that defense. I mean, that's what you pay to see.
it's going to be fun, man. That's going to be a fun game. Seattle against Jacksonville here this week. I'm surprised that wasn't moved to Sunday Night Football. I guess not, because it's Pittsburgh-Baltimore, because you have the rivalry. But Seattle-Jacksonville is a game I'm much more interested in seeing, personally, than the frickin' Ravens.
I thought this was the game that was going to take the Dallas-Giant game spot.
Right.
But thank God you don't have to watch Dallas and the Giants.
Like, but doesn't CBS and Fox get one game to choose from?
So actually, I was looking at the schedule yesterday. They get to lock in one game that they can keep. For Fox, I'm quite positive the Fox game that they are keeping is, hang on one second, the Fox game that they're going to keep, I believe, is, well, there's two Fox games. Oh, this game got moved to CBS. The Fox game they're going to keep is Philadelphia and Los Angeles. Because I think that's an awesome game between the Eagles and the Rams.
That should be really the Sunday night game.
Right. CBS for the AFC is keeping, I guess, Minnesota, Carolina, because they have that game for some reason, a cross flex type thing. So those are the two games that we kept, which means Seattle, Jacksonville would be available, in my opinion. So
yeah, and I'm one of the things I loved, and I'm glad it's coming back starting next Saturday. You get the two games. Used to be the three games: the 12 o'clock, the 5 o'clock, and the 8 o'clock, or something like that.
Now you get two games starting next week. Two games on a Saturday, both weeks 15.
A little holiday shopping. Well, you stop by, take some shots.
It's basically like the NFL.
That's a good idea.
The NFL is saying, "Hey, there's no college football, so we can own the day."
Yeah,
now
we can take Saturday from them. And as soon as they get past the Heisman Trophy, they want that action too.
Oh, well, such as the Heisman Trophy, it's the Army-Navy game as
well.
Oh,
yeah, the Army-Navy, too. Yeah,
it's a big thing. Speaking of the Heisman, just for one moment, Saquon Barkley, not even a finalist, which I thought was kind of wild here, not invited to New York.
He doesn't. How much does he touch the football?
A lot.
Really?
He had that kind of volume. I haven't looked. Who were the finalists?
There's three finalists. Baker Mayfield.
Oh, there's only three? I think he should have like five.
It depends, I think, how close the vote is. Baker Mayfield, the heavy favorite quarterback from Oklahoma. He is a finalist. Bryce Love, running back from Stanford. He is a finalist. And the third finalist is, now I'm forgetting that the finalist is. Hold on one second. The third finalist for the Heisman Trophy is, of course, the returning winner, Lamar Jackson, quarterback from Louisville. Talk more about that and wrap up the hour. Come up next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
With you on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And if you're thinking of giving DFS a try, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, feet. Jesus Christ.
Go ahead.
I'm going to start over. If you're thinking of giving DFS a try, check out Fantasy Factor. Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller fields, a single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. The free to enter, sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. That felt better.
Nice job with that one,
yeah,
too.
I appreciate that. As Mike Florio said, at least I didn't curse. Did you see this yesterday?
I didn't. Wait a minute. I came across it somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Was it Eli Manning?
Yep.
He would be back for the Cowboys next week, which is sets up perfectly for the Giants Super Bowl and for Eli Manning to put the final nail in Dallas one last time.
It would.
Yep.
It really, really would. Which is annoying because I don't want them to win because they have the number 2 draft pick right now. It's like, oh, this is cool.
I don't want them to win either.
Yeah. But they're going to. Probably.
I can see that happening because of the situation.
I know. It's one of those situations. You have the interim coach, Steve Spagnuolo, interim general manager Kevin Abrams, and it's kind of crazy, Corey, that Joe Mara is talking out of his ass, by the way. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said that we basically decided we're going to get rid of McAdoo, we're going to get rid of Reese at the end of the season, and we're thinking, why wait? And I agree. I think every fan has said that. Like, if you're going to do this anyway, just do it now. So I get that. And he said whether they won or lost against Oakland, it didn't matter. And ultimately, the Eli situation didn't contribute to this.
No, that's ridiculous.
That's false.
The thing about it is, what he's doing is he's getting as far away from this thing as he possibly
Correct.
Can. Because he got killed last week, too. Mm-hmm. They don't act like you didn't know this was going to happen.
Well, he was the one that said, listen, blame me because I could have stepped in. And he could have stepped in.
Yeah, exactly.
But he made McAdoo the scapegoat. He knew he had to get rid of Reese. And he is trying to just move on as quickly as possible because he did not like getting the heat last week.
No, he did not like getting the heat. That's not a situation that he's in. He's normally regarded in high standards inside NFL circles. Last week, people in New York media and national media were calling him a fool.
100%.
And saying that he needed to be ashamed of himself.
Yep.
And I think he didn't take too kindly to that. And I think he figured out, listen, I got to get rid of these dudes and put the blame on them.
I agree.
But both of them are gone and both of them need to be gone.
No question about it. Your mic's not on.
Yep, you're going to do your microphone, Matt. You have to turn your microphone on, son. Don't worry, it happened to me, too.
It's, the red light is on.
Oh, really? Yeah. Booby trap. Yeah, somebody's booby trapping the mics here.
Somebody's got little rat traps in here. I mean, Jerry Reese last year was getting so much accolades on how he rebuilt this defense and the moves that he made. Hasn't he won two Super Bowls? I mean, the problem he made was he had a terrible head coach selection, which brought him down with the ship.
The offensive line, too.
I don't agree. So I don't agree because, yes, he made all those high-priced additions on the defense, which absolutely worked.
But going into this year, weren't they considered to be fighting for the NFC East championship?
They were Super Bowl contender.
I mean, yes. However, and I said this a lot on the air, was that it is a fireable offense, in my opinion, when everybody on this show, everybody listening to this show, knows what the one glaring need is on this team to really propel them to a Super Bowl contender. And he did not one thing to address that. Not one thing. There's plenty of veteran offensive linemen out there, and he didn't sign a single one. You knew that Eric Flowers was a disaster. I mean, you saw JPP Snapchatted himself running over Eric Flowers last week. And
I mean, what's his name that the Rams signed?
Andrew Whitworth
was the one.
He was out there.
He was the one guy. That was one choice.
You had. They also signed John Sullivan from Minnesota. Riley Reiff went to Minnesota. Minnesota revamped their offensive line. There were guys out there. I'm not even saying it had to be Andrew Whitworth. They did nothing. And Jerry Reese, yes, he's won two Super Bowls. However, there's a lot of fallacies that he has done as a general manager. He's never traded back in 10 years of NFL draft. He hasn't traded back one single time. Not one.
I don't know if that's always good. I mean, I see the Patriots do it, and they miss on a lot of those, too.
Sure, but if it's only good when there's not a guy there that you want. He felt that there's always a guy there I want, and that's how Eli Apple is on the New York Giants. Just saying. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. We'll reset a little bit. Go back into Monday Night Football. We'll take your calls, 844-843-6879. And we're talking about some other injured players this past Sunday. Adrian Peterson, Tyrod Taylor. Stick around. More Roto Experts next.